boys don't mean to bust your bubble, but girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble. So next time a girl gives you the play, just remember my rhymes and get the hell away.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December 2017 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, continuing with Sports Kids of the Year, Fantastic Four. Meet our Sports Kids of the Year finalist. Treshawn Willis, basketball and football from Washington, Iowa. The first dunk came on a Thursday. Treshawn Willis grabbed the ball, outraced a defender, and slammed it home during an eighth grade game for the Washington Demons. The next came 2 days later after he dribbled behind his back on a fast break. A dunk is impressive for any 14-year-old. For Treshawn, now in ninth grade at Washington High, it was even more jaw-dropping. Treshawn was born without part of his left arm. It stops just above the elbow. The dunks went viral, and he was interviewed on NBC. But even with all the attention, nothing has changed. "I'm just the same old Treshawn," he says. And he isn't just a two-dunk wonder. Treshawn averaged 12 points and 12 rebounds last season, and he played quarterback for the ninth grade squad. In the spring, he plans to try out for track and soccer. Whatever sport he plays, Treshawn will follow his mantra. Don't worry about other people say. Just be yourself. Benjamin Chu, football, wrestling, track and field. Karlstad, New Jersey. He's a three-point athlete now. Three-sport athlete. But when Benjamin Chu began playing soccer at 5 years old, he was timid. "I would be scared to get into the action," he recalls. He came into his own, but in different sports. He was on the offensive line in football, and he loved it. He played in all three All-America games. He began wrestling, and soon he was placing out-of-state tournaments. He first went to nationals in the shot put when he was seven. 1 year ago, he took up discus, and in July, he won the 11- to 12-year-old event at the USATF Junior Olympics, 33.27 meters. His parents, William and Eileen, both threw in college, and they coached their 12-year-old son in his field events. "He's driven," William says. "A lot of it just comes naturally from within. He's going to figure out a way." Claire Curzon, swimming, Cary, North Carolina. It was the middle of the night 6 years ago when Claire Curzon had an allergic reaction so severe that she had to be taken to the hospital. She now carries an EpiPen, a shot that helps fight the reaction, with her wherever she goes. And she and her grandmother created the EpiSock, a long sock with a pocket on the side for an EpiPen. Severe allergies to gelatin, pork, shellfish, and nuts might have slowed Claire momentarily, but they don't define her. The 13-year-old eighth grader, who trains as a swimmer 5 or 6 days a week, holds national age group records in the 11- to 12-year-old 50- and 100-yard butterfly and in the 50-meter butterfly. Her winning time in the 13- to 14 100-meter butterfly, 1 and 1.09 at the 2017 North Carolina Swimming Long Course Age Group Championships in July, would have qualified for the 2016 Olympic Trials. "She knows she's talented, but she doesn't carry herself in a way superior to her teammates," says Brent St. Pierre, Claire's coach at the Raleigh Swimming Association. "What's made her successful is her personality. That love of life is what I think has made it easy for her." Tamari Davis, track and field, Gainesville, Florida. Tamari Davis said she's still in shock about what happened when she crossed the finish line of the high school 200 meters at the 2017 Prefontaine Classic last May. The eighth grader had won in 23.21 seconds, breaking the world record for 14-year-olds she had set less than 1 month earlier. Now, a freshman at Gainesville High, tomorrow has come a long way from that 6-year-old who used to play in the dirt with bugs at her older brother's Desmond's track events. At 7, she raced against 8-year-olds at the AAU Junior Olympics. She finished 3rd in the 100, and she didn't even use starting blocks. Right then, I knew this girl could be special, recalls her coach, Gary Evans. She has won the 100 and 200 in her age group at the AAU Junior Olympics every summer but one since. And that's because she didn't enter that year. Pages 42 and 43, now that's cold. Winter means nasty weather, and that means weird things start happening on the football field. It's a picture of the Patriots against the Raiders. Luck of the Tuck. January 19, 2002, Foxborough, Massachusetts. Late in an AFC divisional playoff game, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady lost the ball in the snow while being tackled by the Raiders. But official ruled that since Brady was tucking the ball into his body, it wasn't a fumble. New England retained possession and tied the game on a field goal, then won it in overtime. Sneakers game, December 9, 1934, New York City. The Giants were trailing the Bears 10-3 at halftime of the NFL championship game when Abe Cohen changed the game. Cohen, a friend of New York coach Steve Owen, arrived with 9 pairs of rubber-soled basketball shoes borrowed from a local hoops team. They provided better traction on the frozen field, and the Giants rallied to win 30-13. Ice Bowl, December 31, 1967, Green Bay, Wisconsin. The NFL championship game between the Packers and the Cowboys was played in a frozen field. It was tough on players, but even tougher on those in attendance. Band members reported that their mouths stuck to their instrument and the referee's lip froze to his whistle. Green Bay won the game on a last-second quarterback sneak. 13 degrees with wind chill, minus 48 degrees. Whoo, chilly. Home field advantage, December 12, 1982, Foxborough, Massachusetts. Temperature was 24 degrees, 0.15 of an inch of freezing rain, 1 inch of snow. During a snowy game between the Patriots and the Dolphins, the official had a snowplow operator clear the yard markers on the field. Late in the scoreless game, the Patriots decided to try a 33-yard field goal. During a timeout, the plow was clearing the 20-yard line when it suddenly veered to clear the spot of the kick. John Smith nailed it, and New England won 3-0. The Fog Bowl. It looked like this thing came up like a blanket, and just plop. It was kind of freakish, Mike Ditka, Chicago Bears coach. December 31, 1988, Chicago, Illinois. In the second quarter of a playoff game between the Chicago Bears and Philadelphia Eagles, a fog descended over Soldier Field. Things got so bad that the referee announced the down and distance before every play so fans would have an idea of what was happening. Despite the conditions, both offenses were able to move the ball, and the Bears came away 20-12 winners. Angelic behavior. 33 degrees, 3.7 inches of snow. And December 4, 2016, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Randall Cobb of the Packers caught a touchdown pass against the Texans and celebrated by making a snow angel. He wasn't called for a penalty because it was already on the ground. Rashard Robinson of the 49ers wasn't so lucky. He also celebrated with a snow angel the same day in Chicago, but was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. We got a round table of athletes to chat about their love of Star Wars. Pages 44 and 45. Ryan Blaney, NASCAR driver. Brooke Lopez of the L.A. Lakers, the forward. And Solomon Thomas, San Francisco 49ers lineman. Who knew so many sports stars are in the Rebel Reliance? We asked these superfans everything from their favorite original trilogy moments to their hopes for The Last Jedi. SI Kids, what is your earliest Star Wars memory? Brooke Lopez, well, I have 2 older brothers, so those were the first movies I watched. I watched them all the time growing up, whenever they came on TV or on VHS. When the special editions came out in 1997, I was in 3rd grade, so I remember four different kids' birthday parties, and we'd go see New Hope or Empire Strikes Back. Thomas. We were living in Australia at the time. I was pretty young. The first movie I saw was the first movie in the series, not the oldest one, but The Phantom Menace. My mom made this really nice Jedi cloak, and I'd wear it every Halloween. I tried to wear it every day. It was just a big deal to me. I bought as many lightsabers as I could. I would always want to be a Jedi. I thought it was the coolest thing ever to use the Force. I thought the Jedi was a role model, like a certain way to live life, and they did it the right way. Doolittle. I got into it when I was a kid. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and I remember watching the Star Wars movies with my dad and my brother. I was hooked right from the beginning. Plenty. Phantom Menace came out when I was 6 or 7. You're at that age when you're just figuring out what you like. And when I saw the first one, I thought it was pretty cool, and it kind of stuck with me. SI Kids, what's your favorite scene? Brooke Lopez, it's hard to go away from when Vader reveals that he's Luke's father. That's such a big-time moment. It blew my mind. And then I love the second Death Star run, when Lando's flying the Millennium Falcon and they actually go inside the Death Star. I love that whole sequence. Solomon Thomas, well, the fight scene in Episode 3 between Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's the best fight scene ever. Doolittle? Well, the Hans and Credo scene in A New Hope is probably the one I spent the most time on, trying to dissect and figure out who shot first. It keeps changing. They keep moving the goalposts when people get too close to the truth. As I kids, which is your favorite of the films and why? Well, Brooke Lopez, Return of the Jedi has always been my favorite. I don't know if I just liked it because of a culmination of everything. I get right into it right from the beginning, when they're on the Tatooine and they're rescuing Han, and right from the get, I feel like the movie just keeps moving. It's got great action, great emotion, just a little bit of everything. I love the final lightsaber battle. Solomon Thomas, well, I really wanted to say one of the new ones, The Force Awakens or Rogue One, but I've always been in love with The Empire Strikes Back. I also want to say Episode 6 because of all the Ewoks, but I love Empire because Yoda's in it and Luke's new path. Doolittle, well, this is like asking a parent to pick their favorite kid. I go back and forth. I think A New Hope might be my favorite. It varies between the three original ones. Blaney, honestly, really because it's the first one I saw. Episode 1 is my favorite because it got me hooked on Star Wars. SI Kids, well, who is your favorite character? Lopez, I've always been a huge Han guy, but then I'm a huge Lando guy too. Love Lando. I just love the Han and Lando dynamic, and Chewbacca as well. Solomon Thomas, well, I'm going with either Yoda or Chewbacca. Doolittle, I really like Chewbacca. It's the hair and the beard. Han and Chewbacca have always been my two favorites. Blaney, Darth Maul and Rey. I actually got to meet Daisy Ridley. It was really cool. We ran into each other at a Staples Center during a basketball game, so I went up and said, hey. SI Kids, what do you think of the franchise direction under Disney? Lopez, well, I'm super excited for the theme park at Disneyland. That's where my mind immediately went, with Disney having the rights now. I'm definitely going opening day in Anaheim, and then whenever they open one in Orlando, I'll be there too. Solomon Thomas, well, I think they're doing a really good job. There was a good amount of humor in The Force Awakens. I loved Rey. Finn needs to do some more work. He was a little weak, but we still love him. I thought The Force Awakens was great, but I thought Rogue One was even better. To see how it fits Episode 3 and 4, I loved that. Doolittle. So far, I think they've done a really, really good job. I like the fact that they took some chances in Rogue One. It was a little bit darker. It wasn't quite as predictable as some of the story arcs have been in the episodes. I don't know what to expect going into it. But I like the idea that they've shown that they can make these stories be just as compelling as the episodes. SI Kids. So what are your expectations for episode 8? Do you have any predictions? Brooke Lopez. Well, I haven't really been watching the trailers, but I've been trying to go in just free of expectations, not thinking this is going to happen or this is going to happen, because release so many clips and scenes now. I like going in just completely fresh and forming my own opinion. Solomon Thomas. The trailer had me going crazy. It was pretty insane. I'm really excited to find out more about the relationship between Rey and Kylo Ren, and also to see the new Dark Leader, all the connections there, and to see how much of a role Luke will have in it. Doolittle. I want to go into it with as open mind as I possibly can, but there are tons of questions that I hope it starts to address. They have it really pretty well set up, and I've watched the trailer about 100 different times, trying to figure out if there are any clues there. Do we figure out who Snoke is? Or do we figure out if Rey and Kylo are related somehow? And, of course, the biggest one is Luke Skywalker. What's his deal? I don't know that I want to go on record with a prediction. The Last Jedi, how much do you read into the title? Does Rey turn bad? Maybe Rey turns bad. That's my prediction. I don't want it to happen. Rey turns bad and joins forces with Kylo. SI Kids, if you were in the Star Wars universe, what kind of character would you be? Brooke Lopez. Well, I think I'd definitely be a Wookiee. I don't think he still exists, but I was always a big Lobaka fan as well. I think that no one's portrayed him on screen. I'd like to give that a shot. Solomon Thomas. Well, I would definitely be a Wookiee. I'm a guy who can show that I'm cuddly and warm, but then I also, at the same time, if I need to, can lash out and have all his anger and strength behind me. Doolittle. Well, I want to be a stormtrooper in the background, but I would be the stormtrooper that provides comic relief. They'd all be doing their job super seriously, and I would be playing an air guitar with my gun or something. I think that would be funny. And Blaney? Well, I don't know. They're coming out with this new Han Solo movie that I think is going to be pretty cool. I know I wouldn't want to be Han because that's too big of a character to play. I think I'd play one of his buddies. As you walk home from school on your first day of winter break, sing this to the tune of 12 Days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, that school's out, I never thought I'd see a full fridge for JJ and me. On the second day of Christmas, school's out, I thought I'd see two batting gloves and a full fridge for JJ and me. On the third day of Christmas, that school's out, I thought I'd never see three branch friends, two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the fourth day of Christmas, I thought I'd never see four calling birds, three branch friends, two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the fifth day of Christmas, I thought I'd never see five golden rings, four calling birds, three friends, two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the sixth day of school's out, I never thought I'd see six geezers playing five golden rings, four calling birds, three benched friends, and two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the first day that school's out, I thought I'd never see seven goalies grinning, six geezers playing, five golden rings, four calling birds, three bench friends, two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the eighth day of school's out, I thought I'd never see eight fatal silky, seven goalies grinning, six geezers playing, five golden rings, four calling birds, three benched friends, two batting gloves, and a full fit for JJ and me. On the ninth day that school's out I thought I'd never see. 9 '80s dancing, 8 fatal silky, 7 goldies grinning, 6 geezers playing, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 benched friends, 2 batting gloves, and a full fit for J.J. and me. On the 10th day of school's out, I thought I'd never see. 10 bows a-leaping, 9 '80s dancing, 8 fatal silky, 7 goldies grinning, 6 geezers playing, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 benched friends, 2 batting gloves, and a full fit for J.J. and me. On the 11th day that school's out, I thought I'd never see. 11 hyper pirates, 10 bows a-leaping, 9 '80s dancing, 8 fatal silky, 7 goldies grinning, 6 geezers playing, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 benched friends, 2 batting gloves, and a full fit for J.J. and me. On the 12th day that school's out, I thought I'd never see. 12 drummonds humming, 11 hyper pirates, 10 bows a-leaping, 9 '80s dancing, 8 fates so silky, 7 golds a-grinning, 6 geezers playing, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 bench friends, 2 batting gloves, and a full fit for J.J. and me. The 2017 Gotta Get It Guide. Looking for gifts ideas this holiday season? Look no further. We've rounded up all the latest gadgets, games, and gear for you. Toys. The BRXL 3D Puzzle. Build your favorite team shoe, helmet, logo, and more. Number 2, Playmobil NHL figures. Grab a skater or a goalie from your favorite team. Number 3, Cornhole game. Cornhole, with coins, get it. Number 4, Becoming Kareem. A memoir for kids from one of the NBA's greatest of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Number 5, Art with Edge. Coloring older kids will enjoy. Number 6, Lego sets. From classic cars to new TIE fighters, Lego has it all. And number 7, Get Outside Go, lacrosse set, everything you need for a game of catch. Then there's video games, PS4 Pro Battlefront 2 bundle, everything you need to play this hotly anticipated Star Wars title. Xbox designed lab controller. Customize a controller to match your jersey or anything you want. Mini-wired gamepad, a controller for your younger sibling. Forza 7, take advantage of the Xbox One X graphics with this beautiful racing game. Major League Baseball, The Show 17, PlayStation.com. The critically acclaimed title will help you through a long off-season. FIFA 18 for Nintendo Switch. The third best console version of the game, Xbox One and PS4, offer better graphics and features. FIFA 18 for the Switch is arguably the greatest handheld sports game of all time. You can now play a true game of FIFA at 720p and 60fps in the car, on the playground, or anywhere else you can take your Switch. Head Coach Crew. Rooting for the home team doesn't have to mean dressing like everyone else. Michelin Ness leads the league in fashionable vintage sports apparel. Their new Head Coach Crew line features retro color schemes for basketball, baseball, and football teams. Apparel? Youth breakaway jersey. Stay current with the updated looks from the NHL's Adidas Switch. Number 2, UA Boys Graphic Tees. These quick-drying shirts look cool and are sports-ready. Helmet Head Trapper. Give helmet hair a new meaning. This hat will keep you warm during even the coldest NFL games. Team Glitter Phone. Almost as good as receiving the phone itself. This case allows you to broadcast your fandom. Ebbets Collegiate Ball Caps. Show your support for mom or dad's alma mater with these wool hats. New Era. Still the gold standard in sports caps, you can't go wrong with 5950. Equipment, out there skateboard. Stand out with this awesome deck design. Force 3.0 folding scooter. A kickstand keeps it upright when you stop, and it folds to fit in your locker. Number 3, Youth Football 2 goalpost set. These mini uprights created a backyard gridiron. Number 4, Blackhawk soccer ball. Cool colors combined with durable material. Number 5, Boys Mongoose Alert Mag. Wheel bike. The stylish ride works on the mountain of or the driveway. Last of the ballers. Jamal Crawford has been in the NBA the return of the century. He just joined his 7th franchise and is playing for his 18th coach. And he spent his summer running and starring in his own tournament. Why? When you have a bottomless passion for the game, all you want to do is hoop. Fashion Pates. An opening night with his new team, Crawford went not balding head to balding head with another A-list wonder, Manu Ginobili, who at 40 is the NBA's second oldest player. Shut me down, shut me down. Jamal Crawford stares at the sideline incredulous. It is August on the outskirts of Seattle. In a few months, Crawford will debut for the Minnesota Timberwolves his 17 and 18 NBA seasons, expected to do what he's always done, get it irrationally hot, irrationally fast. But for now, on a summer day, summer night, in a half-empty college gym that smells of hot dogs and sweat, he is playing for pride. Still, this is his turf, his program. In fact, the appropriately named crossover, and some guy on the opposing bench has the temerity to suggest that Crawford can't be locked up because why? He's too old, washed up. Sure, but the old men are laughing and kids are whooping and Vance is bellowing. Jay Crossover's on fire. And to be in the gym on this summer night as Crawford does his thing is to recognize how he means different things to different people. For some, he provides hope that we don't stop competing because we get old, but that we get old because we stop competing. And if we can just retain our joy for the game, perhaps we too can play forever, never mind the venue. For others, he's the person we'd like to think we'd be if we became millionaire NBA stars, proof that idols don't always let us down. But most of all, spinning down the court, trying out moves, he makes them on the spot. He's a juking brain reminder of why so many of us fell in love with the game, for those moments and those memories. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.
A little bit of time, I showed some cash and the girl was mine. I took her over town, I wined her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well, kinda. All of a sudden, she jumped out.